So a couple of episodes back, I was talking to you about going on a business trip and having to order something in a restaurant. And what I'd like to do this week is actually shift it and think about, ooh, what if somebody comes to visit my office, an internal person from another branch in the company, they come to the office and I've got to interact with them a little bit face to face. I've got to meet them. What sort of things can I talk about? What sort of questions can I ask them? And this actually came up because clients have this situation where people come to the office and you kind of have to engage in and make small talk. So I thought I would go into that in detail today and share with you a few things to hopefully give you a little bit of inspiration about what you could ask them, some really good questions that would get that conversation flowing and hope make it feel a little bit more uncomfortable. Oh, uncomfortable. Sorry. I'm keeping that in. And of course, don't forget to stay until the end where I'm going to actually tell you today about a business expression that I'm pretty sure that you won't know, but I think you're going to really like. So stick around for that. Welcome to Anna Wittuen's Business English Podcast. My name is Anna, and I've designed this podcast for international professionals who want to speak more and speak better. Whether you're based in Spain, like me, maybe you're in Portugal, Japan, America, Australia, Mexico, I really hope that you can take something away from these episodes that you can implement and put into practice in your day-to-day work. That is the goal of this podcast. That is the objective, to help you improve the way that you speak and just give you the confidence to speak more when you're at work. If you love the podcast, I highly recommend that you sign up to the Anna with Two Ends newsletter. I send the newsletter every week after the episode, and it's basically a short and sweet summary of all the tips that I've talked about, and it's the only place that you're going to get a written copy of what I talk about in the episode. A lot of people find this really useful, and you've told me you find it really useful for learning the words that I talk about, having a bit of a recap and a refresh. You want to get your hands on that, then sign up to the newsletter. The link is in the description box. If you want to help support the podcast even more, you can tell a friend or a colleague about the podcast, somebody else who you think could benefit from these episodes. You can also leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts or a rating on Spotify. I know that it's a little bit different on other platforms. And if you do leave me a review or a rating, make sure that you take a screenshot and send me it as a DM or as an email, and I will give you a free training in business listening. Finally, you can donate to the podcast through Buy Me a Coffee. This helps support me as a creator and the costs I have for running this podcast. It is a free podcast and it will always be free. So if you want to support me there, I will leave the link in the description box. Just before we move on, I'd like to say a very big thank you to Leo Bilal. You left the podcast a very positive review on Apple Podcasts. Hello to you there in the United States of America or the US or the USA. You said your channel is awesome. I got a lot of benefit from you. Hope you keep uploading these useful lessons. 5 stars, 90 out of 100. My goodness. Thank you so much, Leo. And yes, I will be uploading these useful lessons as always every Wednesday. But seriously, thank you so much. And do get in touch, Leo, and I will be more than happy to send you across your free training in business English listening. Right, well, let's get on with the topic for today. Now, let's set the scene. So I want you to imagine you, now for the sake of the podcast, let's say that you're based in Madrid or you're based in Paris or Berlin, and you've got some people visiting the office, people from another office, maybe it's head office. The language is going to be in English. Maybe they're English speakers or maybe they're from Italy or whatever, and you're going to be speaking in English and you're like dreading it. So the verb to dread is the opposite of look forward to. You're like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? What am I going to ask them? Like, how am I going to make sure it's not awkward or uncomfortable when they arrive? You might be panicking a little bit because it's face to face. I know that nowadays we're all used to online interactions, which arguably can be a little bit easier, especially if you're nervous. You can kind of hide the nervousness somewhat. But, you know, it's face to face, so I don't know, how are you going to keep the conversation flowing? What about in the break when you maybe have to get a drink or you're going to walk to meetings together? You don't want it to be uncomfortable. Yeah, all absolutely normal worries. So what can we do about it? Well, I'm going to share with you, as I said, some different questions that you could ask them to keep that conversation flowing and hopefully build connections with them and get to know them, because that's really the main goal here as well, is that you can get to know them and build a relationship with them and continue that working relationship. Before I move on and tell you some of the different questions, a really interesting thing to think about is, what questions would you ask people in your own language in this type of situation? The reason I tell you that is because if you think about what you would actually really ask, because everybody has a slightly different approach, different personality. I mean, of course, there's some universal questions that a lot of people ask. But if you think about what questions you would really ask in your own language naturally, and then think about, okay, well, how could I say the equivalent of that in English? It helps you feel, I guess, more authentic and like yourself. Sometimes I think the problem that people tell me they have is that they don't feel like themselves when they speak in English. It feels kind of like almost a vocabulary robot kind of spitting out these different sentences. So that's one way that can help you feel a little bit more natural in that situation. Think about, what would you really say in your own language? Also, some important points to bring up here from an English perspective are that questions are really difficult. And I know that because, you know, I speak Spanish, well, I try to speak Spanish. And sometimes asking people questions is like, you've really got to make the move to ask the question, and it can feel a little bit daunting. And I think maybe you felt like that before as well. And it's like, it's good just to have a list of questions. You don't need to reinvent the wheel every time. You can just have a list of questions that you feel comfortable asking and go with that. Doesn't need to be anything special. These don't need to be the best questions that anybody's ever asked in the world. You just need to survive and get through it, essentially. So have a few questions that you like and pick some that I'm going to go through today, and pick some that you like, practice them a little bit, and then use them in that situation. Just so you know as well, I'll be putting these questions in the newsletter as well. So if you want to get your hands on that, make sure you sign up, and the link is in the description box. So we've got the people come into the office. We've not been looking forward to it. We've been dreading it, but here they are. The day has arrived. They've flown in. They're getting a taxi to the office. You're going to be meeting them there. They're going to be in reception. And initially, I guess you're probably going to do the kind of, hello, nice to meet you, that type of thing. And then maybe when you're on the break or before the meeting, you might have the opportunity to ask them some questions. And actually, one thing that you could say as well is, especially if these are internal colleagues, and that's really what we're focusing on in the context today, you know who they are, but you haven't necessarily met them face to face. Or maybe you've seen their name, or you've maybe been emailing with them, but you haven't met them face to face yet. So a nice thing you can say at the beginning is, nice to meet you face to face, or nice to finally meet you face to face, especially if it's been after a long time that you've been corresponding with each other, but it hasn't been, you know, face to face. Another thing you can say, this is a little bit more advanced, see if you like it, might be a little bit difficult to say in the moment, but this is a really common thing that we say in English, is nice to put a face to the name, which is like, nice to see your face. As we've been emailing, I've seen your name, etc. So it's nice to put a face to a name. It's a little bit more complex. We could just say, nice to meet you face to face, and that's fine. So that could be a nice little sentence you could throw in there if you feel like it. I've got three categories of questions I'd like to share with you. The first ones are questions related to work. And those tend to be, I think, the go-to option because it's kind of easy territory. Then also, I'm going to give you some ones around trips and traveling, because that's a very common thing when people travel to your office. It is a very common thing to ask them about their trip. So we're going to go into more detail about that. And then finally, I'll just share with you a couple of slightly more personal questions, if you felt comfortable to ask them, and you're the best judge of that. And of course, these questions are just some options. They're not the only options that you can ask. I'm just trying to give you something to work with here, okay? So many other options available. I'm just summing up some of them for you today. Let's start with work questions. You could ask them about their role, maybe in a little bit more detail. I imagine that maybe if they're an internal colleague, you would already know what their role is. So maybe if you were on the break and you had a bit more time to go into a bit of a deeper conversation with them, well, a deep conversation, but you know, a bit more in depth, you could ask them about their working situation. Oh, are you working from home a lot at the moment? Do you have to go to the office a lot? Do you have to travel a lot as part of your job? What are you working on right now? Obviously, maybe if you were working on the same thing, that might not be a relevant question. And again, as I said before, some of these questions you might think, well, that wouldn't be really be relevant, or that wouldn't work for me. That's fine. Just giving you some options. You might ask them something like, are you going to the event in July? Oh, I don't think there's any work events in July, but well, let's say September then. September is more of a work event type of month. Are you going to the work event in July? So trying to kind of make that link with a work event that's coming up in the future. You could ask them about the office, where they come from. That could definitely be a potential topic that would spark a conversation. And again, it's not about having the most enlightening conversation ever. It's just about keeping a conversation flowing during the time that you are having a coffee, or during the time that you're walking to a meeting room. It doesn't have to be the best conversation ever. Just got to keep those questions coming. Oh, and what's the office like in London? Oh, very nice. Yeah, you know, it's in the middle of Trafalgar Square. Oh, Trafalgar Square, very nice. And how many people work there? Or is it close to, I don't know, is it close to the Big Ben or something? I don't know. It's funny as well, because once you get the answer, because of course, these are some sort of almost starter questions. And then once you get the answer to the question, you kind of have to go with the flow a little bit and see what their answer is, and then ask them a question after that. So work questions, those are some work questions you could ask them. Maybe if we move on now and have a look at trips, I mean, the classic thing that you could ask somebody is, how was your trip? I mean, really, it doesn't have to get any more complicated than that. How was your trip? And maybe they might say something like, oh yeah, it was fine, thanks. Yeah, really, really good, really smooth, no problems. And then you're like, oh, okay, actually, I wish they would have said, oh, it was terrible, because then they probably would have spoken for a little bit longer. Ideally, what you want to get is you ask them, how was their trip? And they're like, oh, it was terrible. You know, we got delayed in London, and, you know, then we missed the train, and we couldn't find the taxi. And you're like, yeah, perfect. Keep talking. That's fine. Keep talking. The worst thing is if they say, oh, yeah, it was great, thanks. And you're like, okay, God, ask the next question. So what could you ask after that? Well, it could be something like, oh, is it your first time in Madrid? Is it your first time in Paris? Is it your first time in Berlin? So you can start talking about the place. That's a nice kind of segue into a conversation. You might ask them something like, how long are you planning to stay here? Are you going to fly back tomorrow? Are you going to go and visit any of the sites? So here's an important point, actually, because some people make some mistakes with like sightseeing, monuments. I've heard a couple of people sort of say like, are you going to go to the monuments? And I totally understand your question. It's just not a very common way to express it. I don't really know how else to tell you. It's just not, we don't really ask people like, are you going to see the monuments? But we might say, are you going to look around the city? Are you going to look around the city while you're here? Oh, I like that one, actually. That's a very natural one, something I can imagine myself asking. Are you going to go into the center? Are you going to walk around the center? Notice here how I'm using around, because around is like a preposition there added to a verb. Kind of, it's like explore, walk around, look around. So those are some questions that you could ask for trips and traveling. And well, it's, and also focused on the plans that they have in the city. I mean, you could ask them kind of that open question of, what are your plans while you're here? And then, you know, maybe they'll tell you something, and that will spark another question. And by spark, I've used that verb a couple of times. And that's weird because it came up in one of my sessions with my clients this week. Spark is another way to say start. To spark a conversation is a very common collocation as well. The final little category I just want to cover here today as well is some more personal questions. And again, maybe you think, absolutely, I wouldn't ask them a personal question. Or maybe it depends on who it is. Maybe it's somebody you feel very comfortable with. Maybe they are a very relaxed, laid-back person, in which case you're like, okay, I'm going to go in with a personal question. And it might be something along the lines of, are you married? Now, I know that this is a personal thing. Not everybody feels comfortable asking this, but I'm just giving you some potential options. Are you married? Do you have any children? Do you have any pets? What do you like to do in your free time? I'm not a big fan of asking the question, what are your hobbies? There's nothing wrong with it. I can't say that it's incorrect. It's just not natural. It just sounds like something that you've read out of a textbook. It's like the textbook question. But again, it's like that phrase in English, it's raining cats and dogs. Nobody says that. But yet it's in all the textbooks, which makes really no sense whatsoever. So what do you like to do in your free time is a nice way to avoid saying hobbies. But again, hobbies is, it'll do. But I think that's a little bit more of a natural question. And then, you know, maybe you'll get from that, oh, well, you know, I like to go cycling. Oh, right. Yeah, great. And where do you go cycling? So again, the question or the answer then sparks another question. These are just things to kind of get that conversation flowing. If you ask them, do you have any children? They say yes. You can say, oh, are they girls? Are they boys? How old are they? Are they at school? Are they at university? So you've got lots of other questions that can come from that question. I mean, obviously, it depends on your answers, right? I mean, you could get somebody that says, you're like, oh, are you married? Yes. You know, like the one word answers and you're like, oh, okay, great. Do you have any children? No. Oh, right. Okay, great. And any pets? You know, you're kind of looking for an answer and then they're like, no. Okay, great. My next question, what do you like to do in your free time? Oh, well, you know, just reading and going for walks. Okay. So obviously it depends on the quality of your answers as well. But hopefully some of those today have given you some ideas for things that you could ask. And as I said, I'm going to put all of these in the newsletter, which I think will be useful for you because then you can take them, you can have a look at them in a bit more detail, consolidate them, and then perhaps practice them the next time you have this situation. And even if maybe you don't have people coming to the office face-to-face, these can be nice questions that you could ask if you're on an online meeting and maybe they've traveled somewhere. So, I mean, it could be questions that you could ask in that setting as well. So I hope that was useful. Let's finish up today with a business expression you probably don't know that might come up. And I love this one because whenever I tell people about this one, they're like, ooh, I like it. They really enjoy it. I hope I haven't talked about it on the podcast before. I'm getting a bit of a feeling of deja vu, but well, if I have, it's a refresher. So the phrase is to agree to disagree. And initially it's like, well, that doesn't really make much sense. How can you agree to disagree? But this is a really common thing that we use. Well, really common, it comes up. And it basically means to agree to essentially not argue anymore about a difference of opinion. I wouldn't say necessarily argue, but it's not always the case. But you know, sometimes when it's just you've reached a loggerhead. A loggerhead is when both sides, you just can't agree on something. It's just not happening at that particular point in time. You think one thing, they think another thing. There's just, you're not making any headway whatsoever. So maybe it might be something when you're having a discussion at work and really there's no resolution at that moment in time. You're kind of going back and forth. Everybody's like, I think this, and there's no movement. Nobody's willing to compromise at that point. It might be something that somebody would say in terms of something like, well, I can see that we're not really making much progress with this now and I'm really conscious of time. We have to finish in sort of 10 minutes. So let's agree to disagree for now and we'll come back to it later or we'll come back to it in the future or we'll pick it up in the next meeting. Pick it up in the next meeting basically just means discuss it in the next meeting. It could also be used to describe the status of something or an agreement. So you might say something along the lines of, you know, despite the fact that we have a difference in opinions, or we have a difference in opinions and we decided to agree to disagree and explore some other options before making a final decision. So that's what it means if you hear it, agree to disagree. It's essentially like, okay, we're not making any progress right now. We don't agree on something, but let's just agree to either move on, come back to it later, not do anything about it. But that's what it means. It's a really, really lovely phrase. And whenever I bring it up, people really like it. I think because I work with a lot of Spanish speakers and they've told me that there's not really a translation for that into Spanish. So it's quite an interesting phrase. So that is my business expression for this week. And I will put some examples in the newsletter as well. Right, that's me for today then. Thank you so much for listening. And I hope you took something away from this. I hope there's something that maybe you can practice, even if it's just one question or two questions, or just makes you feel a little bit more confident in terms of tackling that sort of situation, then fantastic. And I will see you again very, very soon. Bye-bye.